So a woman basically invented the computer. And now here's a story of female code breakers. Code breaking the Nazis' Enigma machine was crucial to ending World War II. The new movie, The Imitation Game, tells the story of Alan Turing and his machine that broke that code. It was known as the Bomb Machine, and the code breaking all took place at the British Manor, Bletchley Park. But many of the great minds working at that top secret location were women, like code breaker Ruth Bourne.
I had no idea until after we had signed the Official Secrets Act. None of us knew what we were doing. And then all we were told was, we are breaking German codes. Those five words were the beginning and the end of what we knew.
Women actually outnumbered men at Bletchley Park, nearly 4-1. Sue Black is a computer scientist by trade, but became one of the driving forces to turn Bletchley Park into a museum. She also documented the lives of the women who worked there.
They were mainly young women who joined the Wrens, the Women's Royal Naval Service. Uh-huh. They'd signed up for the war effort. Thousands of young women, basically, and most of them away from home for the first time. So a common story is that they would find out that they were going to a place called Bletchley and wouldn't know anything else about where they were going, really, or what was going to happen. And then on arriving at Bletchley, they were told that they should just go over the road to go and report in. So they'd go over the road and report in at Bletchley Park. And then they had to sign the Official Secrets Act. Quite often, there would be a soldier in the corner with a gun. Someone would point to the soldier and say, if you break the Official Secrets Act, you'll be shot.
That was serious? They would be shot?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Oh. Did they live at Bletchley Park or in the...
They didn't. Nobody actually lived on site, I don't think. So there was 10,000 people, and Bletchley is a small village. And lots of the young women lived at Woburn Abbey, which is a stately home nearby.
What was their life like at Bletchley Park during the war?
Well, I think it was pretty grim, really. They were working on shifts around the clock, and I think 6 days a week, in temporary huts built for code breaking. In winter, they sat with blankets around them. In summer, they were absolutely baking hot.
There was also a whole nother world of life outside of the code breaking at Bletchley Park that you found out about. Tell me about some of those stories.
I was invited to the Enigma reunion, which happens every year. And so I sat down with a table of about 10 ladies in their 80s. I said, so what did you get up to outside of work? So one of the ladies started telling me about when they were living at Woburn Abbey and the local RAF station found that some of the pilots were flying low over the roof of Woburn Abbey and they couldn't work out why. And they found out in the end that the Wrens were sunbathing topless on top of Woburn Abbey. And so the pilots were swooping low over to try and get a look at the topless women on the roof of the building. So I just thought that was very funny.
In your research, you spoke with one of those women named Mavis Beatty. She died last year at the age of 92, but you met her before that. Tell us about Mavis Beatty and what she did.
She's an amazing character. And even at the age of 90, very, very sharp mind, just a fabulous woman. So she was there at the age of 19. She actually cracked the Italian naval enigma in 1941, just before there was about to be a very large battle, the Battle of Cape Matapan. Basically, the Allies were able to win that battle because of Mavis's cracking that code. Incredible.
Yeah. As you said, everyone who worked at Bletchley Park was sworn to secrecy. After the war, many women went back to their lives. Many got married, became housewives. Never told their husbands, though, about that secrecy. And I'd like us to hear a clip of bomb operator Jean Valentine being interviewed about keeping the secret.
I couldn't tell my mummy and my daddy because they'd already died. They never knew what I did.
Which must have been so hard.
Yes, but a lot of time had gone by, really. And we were busy getting on with our lives and having our babies and supporting our husbands, the way one does.
So supporting our husbands, she said. What did the women you interviewed, Sue, tell you about their lives after the war?
They went back to being 1940s housewives if they were married. Everyone that had been there was not able to talk about what they'd done. And so that caused problems for quite a lot of people, I think, because, a war's been going on for 6 years and you can't say what you were doing. You can just imagine that if you're trying to get a job afterwards, you can't say anything that you've done for the last 6 years.
Yeah.
People will probably look at you with some suspicion, wondering what you have actually been up to.
Yeah.
And nobody told, which is amazing. More than 10,000 people working there. I've not heard one story of anyone saying anything.
Women are notoriously underrepresented in the tech world today. What do figures like Ada Lovelace and the women of Bletchley Park mean for computer scientists like yourself working within this heavily male-dominated industry?
20 years ago, it was only women in tech talking about women in tech and how important it was. At least there's recognition now that there's a problem, whereas 20 years ago, the sort of mainstream opinion was if women wanted to be in technology, they would be. So what's the problem was kind of like the attitude 20 years ago from most people that I spoke to. Whereas now we're really seeing all different parts of business and society focusing on the fact that it is actually a problem.
Computer scientist Sue Black, her forthcoming book, Saving Bletchley Park, will be out this coming spring. Thank you.
Thank you very much.